Blog Talk Radio.
The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. A podcast featuring Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, two out of the broom closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC radio network. During each episode, Elvira and Deb will help you create rituals, cast spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Deb, take it away.
We're here!
Yay!
Oh, my
ready to manifest.
Oh, that's it. Our topic certainly is bubbling with, you know, excitement to get spoken of. So this is obviously, I'm Elvira, and Deb is chuckling with me, and we're here tonight to finish off our month series of gods, angels, and other inspiration. And our topic, of course, is stoking the fires of manifestation. But before we get started, we kind of will share a little bit of what has been going on in our lives. So I will start, and then I will turn it over to Deb. This week has been experiencing a lot of changes. Some of them I have been party to. Some of them are around me. I actually wound up on Sunday at a children's birthday party. Now, you know, all things being said, I've been to Chuck E. Cheese, and whether it was with my daughter when she was little or my granddaughter, but this one was for a friend of my granddaughter, and we wound up at this place called Fast Lanes. And what it was originally is they had inside go-karts, and then, of course, there was other things. Now they've changed it, and what it has is a lot of different kinds of video games, or you get in and you can do driving, like, you know, you're driving a racetrack, and so you're doing that, or, you know, kind of like the back and forth hockey games that you do with the ball, the disc on the basically it looks like a pool table, and back and forth and all kinds of stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah,
we wound up in the room with all the kids and the parents or grandparents. And so, you know, there was pizza, which by the time I got there, I was like, I don't necessarily go in for, you know, a lot of pizza unless it's really kind of like a more gourmet thing. And these will never, you know, match that. But I was like, I need a piece now. So I waited for all the kids. So I was a really good person and then found one and grabbed it and started eating it. And then, of course, they brought in a more flavorful one. That was kind of a combination for the kids and then the adults, you know. So it was a big, huge one that had a bunch of different types of pizza. And then, of course, we had the gift exchanging and, you know, the cake and everything. And then they wound up going off for 30 minutes of just, you got free cards because it was part of the package. The kids got cards to go in and they could do, you know, they put these things in and they could play for 30 minutes. And so that was their big thing. I was like going, the noise was heavy. And I was, like, going in and out to, you know, just check where my daughter and granddaughter were and kind of watch what they were doing and then come back in to kind of soothe my nerves. And then after we got through, you know, we were able to go, and I treated everybody to drinks at – it's a drive-through. It's Seven Brew. It's absolutely the most incredible place. It's got, you know, kids' sodas and fizzies and, you know, the adult you know, was it energy drinks and coffee, and their coffee is exquisite. So we did that, and then they dropped me off before I eventually went back over and hung out with them at the lake. I didn't go in. I just sat there on a camp chair, just letting the breeze and the air come in. So that was my highlight, really, between all the other things that have been going on for me, because we've got 90-degree plus weather, humidity, intensity, you know, that kind of a thing. But, you know, it's been active and fun, and I've had, you know, different people I've talked to either for one reason or another, but it was a good time. I enjoyed it. And how was your week since we last talked?
I think it's actually been 2 weeks since we were on the air, I think.
Oh, that's okay.
Because we have, like, the solstice rebrush.
Oh, that's right.
But, you know,
we had 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because I was thinking that one of the things that I thought of is we both did some future show planning. And we were brainstorming for a few hours on the phone last week. And gotta say, I think we have some pretty great shows planned. So
yes, we do.
Everybody out there, stay tuned.
True.
But otherwise, I was just, you know, it just seems like there's been a lot going on. Like you were saying, like real significant changes coming up. Like, well, with me, there's a member, well, there's me, I got diagnosed with diabetes. I'm like, what? And so, but it's not so bad. It's not like a real, I'm on medication and stuff, and so I'm trying to adjust to that. But I'm kind of more concerned about a family member who had a recent diagnosis of cancer. And so I'm just mentioning that because anybody out there who hears, you know, Deb's brother needs any prayers or healing energy being sent, that is very, very but besides that, I did some candle burning and divinations for a few of my longtime clients this past week, which is kind of nice reconnecting with a couple of them. And something that I did a lot over the last days that I think really connects with our topic, and I'll kind of go into that later on, but I've been doing like some fantastic mediumship meditative exercises where I go through this series of questions three times. And I go through the series of questions first in the conscious state. Then I go through that series of questions in the intuitive state. And then I go through it once more in a soul state. And so we're prescribed by my medium mentor, who is Martin Twycross, and he's a great guy. He's a great teacher. He's in the UK, and he's a remarkable spiritualist medium and mentor, you know, and he's associated with Arthur Findlay College and stuff. But I just love recently embracing how we are all, I mean, if we are continuing to grow, lifelong students. And this group that I'm in, I'm both like really humbled and honored to be in this mentorship group with these practicing mediums. And so anyway, with this exercise though, because it was like working with those three states of consciousness, which is something that I think very much ties into our topic later on, and I'll tell you more about that once we get into it.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else you'd like to say before we launch into our topic?
No, not so much. I'm just,
okay.
I'm excited about this topic. I think we're going to have a lot of fun talking about it.
Oh, yes. So, obviously, stoking the fires of manifestation. Now, the one thing that you have to realize is a Californian replaced into Arkansas, I still hear the word fires, and I get a little bit nervous. So, and reading a lot about what's happening, there are fires, but they're catching them a lot quicker back in Northern California. But, so,
okay.
One of the things is, you know, how do you get the state of manifestation to, you know, work with, you know, what is it that you need to actually look at? So if you're going to do it, you deal with three laws: law of attraction, the law mm-hmm. of asking, and the law of mm-hmm. allowing. And there's those three laws are kind of a basis that you can format. And then you go to the second level, which is basically how do you release in the manifestation? How do you go into actually doing that? And what you basically do is you're cultivating a mindset of surrender. And then you are also releasing attachments to the outcome, which is the hardest thing that I can find, not just for myself, but any clients that I have ever, you know, coached through things. It's, you know, that concept. And the third, of course, is the practice of self-love and self-care, which, again, kind of, you know, goes back to some of, you know, what you were, you know, talking about in terms of the different things you are experiencing now. And obviously, even the meditation that you're going to go more into. And I realized that, you know, it's about taking responsibility for things in your life. Even though I know we can have been harmed, hurt, or brutalized, it's the responsibility of ourselves on how we are able to move forward, you know. And we've talked about this before, the victim consciousness and all that. But mm-hmm. it's really when you want to manifest something, you really need to have a platform where you feel that when you do this, you're taking responsibility for manifesting it. It's not what is the problem stopping it from happening, but actually saying, I am going to do this. And a lot of that is seeing it in a completed form. And I know we've, you know, there's a lot of books and lectures and things about, you know, saying, see yourself in the place you are, you know, you wish to be and everything. And, that's part of it, I mean, as far as, you know, working on that. But it's about the idea of I see that and I walk into it. Literally walking, you know, you don't have to close your eyes. I mean, it's sometimes a good thing, but you visualize and you see it and you walk into it. You then become it. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, part of that aspect of shifting from visualization to incorporation. I am incorporated in it. It is in me. And I kind of went into an area when I was looking at some of this information and thinking, well, you know, we're talking about the solar plexus. We're talking about the energy in that area. And that actually, mm-hmm. and I found this fascinating when I did research, it's considered the second brain of your body. Because of the enteric nervous system, meaning the energies and all that are in there are part of a second brain. It's your digestive system, you know, and it's putting things into more of a, how do I want to put it, area that allows it to have the power. You know, you're eating, you're digesting, you're providing nutrients and nutrition to your body, but it's also mm-hmm. about the power and energy to creation, because, you know, you are, that's the area of manifestation. And it comes in the ideas of willpower, self-control, and courage. And you have to balance, you know, the sense of purpose and mastering the areas of your ability to do that. And I found it just very interesting because it's kind of like, how do you stoke the fire? What is it? You know, we talk about mm-hmm. stoking the fire mm-hmm. and yes. that's the movement, the energy forward. So in an actual fire, you put a large piece of wood down, you put a lot of little pieces, they light it, and it's, you know, the little pieces that are burning to create a higher vibration to go ahead mm-hmm. and burn the bigger piece, and that creates yeah. your big fire. And I was kind of looking at that going, mm-hmm. Now if you think about it, take yourself out mm-hmm. to stoke it, take mm-hmm. yourself out of your comfort zone. So instead of shop at your normal store, you shop at grocery store, go to some place that's different or explore. Mm-hmm. One of the things I found mm-hmm. when I started coming here is I would take off, and I was loaned one of their cars, and I would go places. I would go to the museum. I would go to this place. I would drive over here, and it was definitely exploration and certainly out of my comfort zone. And I have found that I need to remember that now because I'm so used to what I used to do in California. I will get up. I will go to this store. I'll do my shopping. I'll do this, and I'll come home rather than take time to go someplace outside of the normal process. And I think that mm-hmm. part of, you know, taking in that energy, it talks a lot about breath work. You know, you have mm-hmm. breath, deep breathing. Well, sometimes that, of course, helps, you know, with calming things, you know, down. But then when you want to stoke the fire, you do bellow breathing. And, you know, that heavy breath out. And I think most of us don't think about doing that because, you know, what we're in the kitchen, we might do it. If we're outside with a bunch of people, they start hearing us do bellow breathing. I think they think that's crazy, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, keeping, you know, supporting our physical digestive system, also cleansing, mm-hmm. and this I found really exciting, with essential oils. And so there's a lot of different things you can use to bring yourself into balance with, you know, the oil, the use of cleansing oils. And mm-hmm. basically the other one, which I still do, is yoga exercises. And they gave a couple of them that I don't use, and I was fascinated. I know the bow pose. I have to look what upward facing dog. And then I know warrior one. And that's basically, you know, a part of, you know, getting the energy going. The ones I don't really know is riding the mm-hmm. twist and I can't read my own writing, but it's another one that I saw and I'm mm-hmm. like going, I've got to research mm-hmm. this to actually look at. Yeah. And then the biggest thing is mm-hmm. affirmations, to affirm, just like I was saying, we mm-hmm. are that, I do this, I am this, rather than what we are afraid we've lost. And I think the other part that I'm really just going to mention and not, I'm going to turn it over to you, is doing rituals of gratitude, being grateful. Mm-hmm. That is the biggest and most powerful. And we've said this in so many different shows, but it has such a power. And now I'm turning this over to you, Deb.
Yeah. Well, you know, I love everything you said, and I'm probably going to say a lot of the same things, but in a different way.
That's good.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, well, first off, you know, I think I like to start out looking at the internal dynamics that intentionality plays, which it plays a big part. And what I mean by that is like identifying where you are now and then where you want to be at a future date. And the way we can stoke the fire is by taking incremental steps to inspire and to build that inner fire to the point of manifestation. And so we do this by seeing and sensing ourselves, you know, within our thoughts and our emotions as already being there or already manifesting. And then we can always add power to this along with a little ritual or magic, and that adds, you know, additional energy to that whole process of manifestation. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, when we establish our intentionality, we need to just be aware that we already possess all the tools we need to manifest what we're looking for. And we always have a choice. We can manifest just about anything when we recognize, I would say, like the nature of the quantum world, and how we all have different potential realities. And so, like, when we come to the fork of a road, you know, do we go left or right? You know, the choices to manifest different realities are presented to us every day. And we can engage in the process of realizing that there is every possible version of us out there. We just have to decide which one we are stepping into or which one of all the possibilities that we're choosing to manifest and then step into that one. And so, you know, and you mentioned also along with intention, breath work is also we need to connect with and to align our minds with who we want to be and what we want to manifest. And so I think that there's like a few core principles that you illustrated about how we as humans operate. And these are things that we are all born with, and these aspects are vital to manifesting. For example, I would say most of us are very aware that there is injustice in the world around us. You know, and we'll often hear things like, if it wasn't for what he said, and then she said this, and then the issue is why, you know, this person's issue is why I'm stuck, and blah-de-blah-de-blah-de-blah-blah. But it's like I'm unable to move forward, you know, because you're so consumed with this way of perceiving the world, and ourself is very outward focused. And a way of seeing all of the power or control is being outside of ourselves rather than, in, you know, within us. And so I would like to kind of like reframe this process of perception so I can acknowledge two truths. You know, one is that there is injustice in the world around me, and there are many obstacles sometimes. But I can also acknowledge that if I allow myself to bind that script, then I become the victim. You know, and so I've made the mistake of binding to that script in the past, and it never turns out well for me anyway. And for most of the people that I know, it turns into self-pity. And I have to admit, I've wrapped self-pity around me like a cloak or a badge of honor and stealth the doors with that attitude that, okay, you know, big bad world, I know you're just going to do it to me, so I'm ready, you know. And what happens is I cut myself off from my own power and my own fire of manifestation. So it doesn't matter really. I want to reframe and refocus from that. So then I have to look at what is something that we all have. And it doesn't matter where we are, who we are, what we look like, or what we have financially or otherwise. You know, what we all have and what we've all been born with is the access to three different aspects of the mind, our conscious, our subconscious, and also we all have access to the universal mind, or what some might call the higher self. So the keys we need to tap into stoking the fire of our manifestation is to align with our conscious mind and our subconscious mind, to align both of those states with the infinite intelligence of the universal mind, because we're all a part of it. And this is, you know, also known as the unified field, the divine mind, or the absolute. And this source of energy contains everything that has ever manifested, and it also contains the potential of all possible things that can manifest, and we all have access to it. And so I know we're getting close, but I just want to say what seems to happen frequently is that we have in our conscious mind, it's usually due to past conditioning or programming, which has usually happened to us when we were growing up. And so like that old programming might have left us with some kind of like negative belief loops. And when we are ingrained with these negative beliefs, it actually disconnects us from the truth of the universal mind. And you know what? The universal mind will usually mirror whatever it is that we believe in our subconscious. And so that's when we have to start, like, taking a look at what's holding us back. You know, 9 times out of 10, it's ourselves, you know, and just looking at what are we still holding on to that doesn't work. And so, yeah. If we've got time, there's this it has to do with breath work in a way, or pausing, and shifting into consciously looking at what we're doing in the present moment. And if I could just read this little quote real quick.
Please do.
Do I have time to do that? Okay. All
yes.
Right. So this is from a recovery daily meditation. But I'm substituting the term, it says higher power, but I'm saying universal mind. So today, I humbly ask the universal mind for the grace to find the space between my impulse and my action. Let flow a cooling breeze where I would respond with heat. To interrupt fierceness, gentle peace. To accept the moment which allows judgment to come discernment. And to defer to silence when my tongue would rush to attack. I promise to watch for every opportunity to turn toward the universal mind for guidance. I know where this power is. It resides within me, as clear as a mountain brook hidden in the hills. It is the unsuspected inner. And that's it.
Wow. That is so
cool. You like that one?
Cool. I love it. It's great. Thank you. I mean, it's funny you say that because I was looking for some kind of quote that I could have thrown in, and you just walked right in and gave it. So, I mean, what more could I possibly have expected? But again, we are synchronized. And I know that we've got like 2 minutes before we have our audio break for commercial. So we have to be mindful. Yeah. But I want to say that, you know, what you said, not just in that particular affirmation, but the idea of all that you presented is almost like the second half of what I had put out there. And I'm just going to say thank you because that's so awesome. And I think at this point, I'm not sure how close we are, but I would like to break at this point now for our commercial, and then we'll come back to Deb to give us more stuff.
Sounds good.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages. LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LeFay, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays, and The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays, 4 to 5. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
Okay.
Yay.
Go for it, Deb. Yay. Okay.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I just wanted to just get a couple little things before I move on to kind of working to manifest. And so, I think, like you were saying before, breath is really key. And I think that the thing that I read from the meditation book is really about taking that deep breath and pausing. Because if you think about it, our breathing is controlled by our subconscious, and we don't even think about breathing because it's kind of an automatic action. But lots of times just taking that deep breath makes us feel better, and it helps us to pause before we move forward. And when we're in our thinking mind, we're usually not in the present moment. Because we're usually, you know, dwelling on the past or thinking about what we're going to do, you know, future-oriented. And so in that moment of taking a deep breath, we're centered in the here and now. And we're able to connect in that moment with the universal mind, which is, you know, an infinite field of loving sort of energy that flows through everything, you know, and it flows through our heart space, and it connects us to, you know, to everything else. And so, and one other thing I wanted to mention before hopping into the working with the three states of being is, I just wanted to mention negativity, because I'm not a believer in, I know I get annoyed with some people that are just like fully positive, like no matter what's going on, like if I'm having a bad day, I feel like slapping them. But I also want to say a few things about negativity, and just to not oversimplify it, but I think negativity is one of the most common things that holds us back and doesn't allow us to stoke that fire of manifestation. And, you know, we just need to remember that everything is just energy. And negativity is a matter of perception. And we choose our perceptive state, which often determines reality. And so we can stoke the fire of manifestation by just matching the frequency of the reality that we see. And if we do that, it's like we almost cannot help but get those flames stoking and manifesting in reality. And so being mindful of our energetic state is really important, because what we put our attention to, that's what we draw to us. And so I think, you know, just starting out with looking at the internal and then working with it, I put my thing here. Okay. Like working with the three states of being has to do with the first state is, you know, our conscious mind. So we're working with the mental energy. And so that's kind of like the first layer. And then we just, in that state, we need to define what we want to manifest and then formulate it in our mental energy field. And, you know, like you were saying, it's like playing out a scene in our head, like a movie scene, or however, you know, whatever sense you use to kind of feel it already happening. And then the next layer that we would work through would be the emotional or subconscious level. And we can feel what we wish to manifest. We can intend that emotional state of bliss or prosperity or whatever it is that we were seeking, and then anchor that feeling or emotion to our breathing into a meditation or a visualization or to affirmations. You can do it with any of those things, but to get that emotion going and to claim it. And then try, you know, the best time to do those things are when you're like in an in-between space, like when you're falling asleep or just waking up. And then to do that, like as a, you know, just do it as an easy flowing repetition. Get that image, get that feeling going, link it to your breath, you know, develop a visualization or an affirmation, and then allow it to gestate or percolate until it begins to manifest. And then the next layer has to do with our soul. Which is linked to the universal mind. And so we can go into gratitude as if you are already there in manifestation. We can act as if. And if we do that, even though it sounds like I can remember the first few times I did things like that, I felt like this is ridiculous, you know. I don't even know why I'm acting as if, you know. And I felt like, am I being fake or what, you know. But it's like, you know what, if you do that, if you start being there and acting as if, you'll begin to see it manifest first within the universal mind. And then it flows into the subconscious where you actually start to feel it, or you start to feel better. And then it seeps into the conscious as it flows out into our actual conscious reality. And so I have proven that to myself over and over again. It's just that it truly does work. And I think that, you know, it's just a good basic formula. Now, that's more like working with the internal and connecting, you know, to that that field of energy and, you know, and working with it. And so as far as, like, doing magic, you know, to me that's, like, more external. But once you've developed that that connection and being in the flow of the universal mind, your magic is just going to flow. It's like once you've stoked those inner fires of manifestation and made that connection, we can partner up with our magics or our spiritual allies in a way which will correlate and, like, manifest our intent to a much greater degree. And so this can be in any form of magic and spell casting, like road opener spells or success spells, prosperity spells, any type of blessings and healings, healing spells and rituals, as well as, you know, just about any form of magic. And I just kind of want to focus on what, just thinking about that and then thinking about what magic is and how we can use it to stoke the fire of manifestation. So I think just in a general way of thinking, the craft of witchcraft is a very symbolic, creative, and energetic work that's done to bring about change and results. And I think that not so much as it used to be, but I still think that in regard to magic, many people have kind of a like an artificial, over-the-top Hollywood idea of what real magic is from watching a lot of movies or television shows. But I think that true magic works like in a very different way, and it's usually much more subtle, although sometimes it can be very striking and profound than what you see on the screen. But magic serves as a way to open up like your inner being and allow it to flow into alignment with the universal mind, and also to just access the potential, you know, of manifestation. And so magic is really the art of working with the universal mind and the power that's present and flowing through everything. And so visualization, knowledge, and intent are some of the catalysts we can use to stoke the fire of manifestation in our magical work. But I think, like, magic is also a tool that can be used for us to unlock the power within us, which enables us to kind of, like, more fully partner with the powers around us, like herbs and roots, the words that we recite or say, candles, and any of the elements, and any other spirits, just, you know, just to name a few. So I think there's a whole universe of magical energy, which is very much around us, even though it's kind of mysterious and unseen. But we just need to approach magic and manifestation of intent with an alignment of our inner energy. And spell casting, you know, is very symbolic, but at the same time, it's also kind of deeply principled in a lot of ways, and it works in accordance with certain universal laws and principles and stuff like that. And so, so I think that charging our magical materials with our intentions is really important. And kind of looking at, like, I believe that we ourselves are our greatest magical correspondents, and that our materials are much more than just tools. They're allies. And if we unlock their power by asking the universal energy to flow through and magnify their signature, and then combine that with our intentions as an alignment within the universal mind, we, you know, connect everything up to power up our magic. Yeah, I'm just kind of rattling on here, but How about you, Elvira?
Okay.
I'm just like,
Well, you're saying a lot of the principles, and I'm sitting here going, yeah. Honestly, when you say these things, my visual is just exactly when, you know, Harry Potter handed his wand and he put it forth and this light came out of it and whatever happened, you know, because that is the visual. I know I loved his wand. The visual is really where you do that connecting between yourself and the universal energy of there. And yes, that is part of it. And you don't have to think that it's going to take that energy and shove the person halfway across the room kind of a thing. But it does mean that what you're using, you get a visual and a gut feeling. And those two things bring everything into that next step, which, you know, you then take and you hold your, you know, wand or your, you know, the items that you're going to do.
Yeah.
I think what I'd like to do right now is get the spell that I had put together, because this kind of flows right into it, and then we can do something afterwards depending on what kind of comes out of it. So I was looking at different, you know, stones and things, and I thought, you know, what can we do? So I took the directions of north, you know, northeast, south, and west, and I took a stone for each. So you would put hematite in the north, and that's basically to ground your creative side, bring, you know, connection to it, that energy of, like, the physical, but grounding it and making that connection.
Like that.
And then clear quartz for the east, because that's the connection with basically all of the universal vibrations and capacities. It's the generator. And then the south, I fell in love with fire agate. And that, because it was one of the things, I know. And it's technically, it's about stoking the fires. And I just went, I like that. That really felt like, yep, that's what we need to do. And then the west is moonstone. And, you know, that's basically because of the moon and working with that manifestation of the emotion. And, you know, it gives us that quality of energy that brings that in. And then you put a pyrite in the center because that's the master manifester. And then I thought, well, okay. Right. That gives you the five, you know, what would be the five elements, and, you know, the fifth one being, you know, the connection to the universal energy, the universal focus. And then you take and you, around that, you circle it with Balm of Gilead, because that is another manifesting herb. And then around all four, you basically encircle with magnetic sand. Now, what you do is you take your wand, because again, that's fire, and that's, you know, it becomes your, you know, your pen, so to speak. You're drawing, you're writing what you want, and you have, because part of this is I thought, well, you know, we should write, you know, something we want down, but I felt that there was more power in our words spoken. So as we definitely manifest that whole basic circle within a circle and, you know, the 5 points, we do the 5 points, we draw it, and what we do is we do a manifesting pentagram, which, you know, you start at the point, you bring it down to the left, cross over, you know, do your actual visualization of it. But that's when you say your affirmation, meaning whatever it is that you want to manifest, and you say it, and you do it three times. And basically, that's what you do. And then when you're done, you let it sit for 24 hours. And then what you do is you collect all of it, all the herbs and stones, and put it in a pouch. And basically, you either wear it or you carry it. You know, you keep it with you because you are one with it. That spell, that moment of, you know, the simple ritual, because you know, we can get very, very intense and intricate, but the simplest is what will bring in all of what we need because, number one, we stepped aside mm-hmm. from our thinking mind, which has all the different things that intricacy requires you mm-hmm. to do, and it's all it's that direct connection with action, consciousness to subconsciousness to universal mind. So you carry it, you mm-hmm. hold it, you sleep with it. You could, you know, it's like, you know, your buddy, and you hold on to it. And I would probably say, because we both are witches, and you know, you do it a lunar cycle, but you keep it. You determine after a lunar cycle what exactly is going on. Now, you know, it may happen. It may happen faster, or it may need more time. But that's part of what you're connecting with that living spell, is what it mm-hmm. is that you and it need together, just like you do when you have plants and you water them and you do all the caring, or animals or children. It's a living thing. It's a living being. So at this point, yeah. that was what I wanted to give as a spell. So do you have any ideas that you uh-huh. want to throw out that came to you while I was talking?
Oh, yeah, I love that. I just, I like that you put the clear quartz in the east, because that, it did make me think of, you know, because there's that clarity within the quartz. Mm-hmm. It made me think of air. It made me think of mental energy and all the things that are kind of associated with the East.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and with the moonstone in the West, that's so much about, you know, it's a, you know, watery element. It's about, you know, dipping down into your intuition and your psychic mm-hmm. self, into your subconscious. And so, you know, it's kind of interesting because it almost represents like what I was saying about working with the three levels of consciousness, where you've got mm-hmm. that clear quartz with, you know, using your consciousness as that first layer of manifesting, you know, and then going, you know, with the moonstone in the West, that's, you know, tapping into the subconscious and that emotional field and, you know, getting into the feeling of it, you know. And then I love that you put the fire agate in the South, you know, and I don't know if I've ever had a fire agate, but it sounds beautiful.
I like agate.
Yeah. And then we always need a little grounding, so that hematite in there, and then pyrite in the center. I thought, wow, that's an interesting choice, you know, because I always think of pyrite as a prosperity type stone. And so, yeah. I mean, lots of times we might be trying to manifest prosperity in a number of different, you know, ways in our life. You know, whether I know somebody who used some prosperity ingredients and prosperity oil for in a love spell, and it worked really well. She actually had too much of a response to it. Which I thought was hilarious.
Wow. Well,
I didn't know about the balm of Gilead being, you said that is used for manifesting.
Actually,
manifestation,
healing, and protection from Scott Cunningham. Nice. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I like seeing the different types of uses, because a lot of herbs and roots have kind of like multiple uses. And just, mm-hmm. You know, the other things that I thought about is I love the way that you put that whole thing together. I liked use of the pentagram and to manifest, and then saying the affirmation three times. And you did mention also like importance of kind of like to act as if, as you live and breathe into mm-hmm. the essence of that manifestation, and then to let go of the results. And I think that if we're able to do that, the magic and intention and the universal mind, I think all work together and actually like proves to us over and over again that it works. And, mm-hmm. One other thing I kind of thought about, and this isn't so much having to do with what, how you did the spell, because I thought that was a great, that's an awesome spell.
Well, thank you.
I thought that, I think I'm going to, that one, is that I think affirmations are really important, and I think words can be very powerful. But I think that sometimes, I know I've done this in the past, is that I've approached spell work with a very kind of limited mindset, you know, where I already have decided the best outcome. And I think, you know, to be a little careful with that, because when we do that, we actually kind of cut ourselves off from the flow of the universal mind, which potentially can offer us, like, so much more than that. Than just the intent that I had, if it's just narrowed down into one thing. So
May I break into you for just a minute?
And quick,
because before I forget, one of the things I always put together, and that in what you're saying, limited in what we see as an outcome, I always add this or something better. This allows the universal energies and spirit to bring something that I didn't even think what I was when I was thinking about it or seeing it, how it'll come about or whatever. So I sorry I disrupted you, but I needed to say that before I forgot.
No, I like that. And that, you know, that I think that that's telling of your life experience or your history of magical experience. Because I think that when we kind of place our intention a little more open-ended rather than going, you know, into like a force of will or, you know, or trying to micromanage the life energy, I think that just going into it as a partnership and for like your own highest good and to bring about this or something better, I think that if we do that, that we actually end up being really amazed that sometimes the outcomes far exceed our original intentions.
Exactly.
And so that, you know, that is a thing. That is a true thing. I always kind of compare it to like, okay, if you're conducting an interview, you're going to get a lot more information since, with open-ended questions than you are if you're just asking closed-ended questions.
Right. To try and get certain answers that will give you, you know, quote, what you're looking for kind of a thing. So, I'm trying to look at our time just so that I know where I am because obviously, we have 5 minutes, so we should kind of wrap up. I think you have given an incredible, you know, counterpoint to, you know, what I brought up at the beginning and then again when we, you know, just had our little thing about the spell and some of your observations and things. So maybe for the next minute or two, do you have anything else you want to say that can sum up anything more? Otherwise, I will start our process. But.
Yeah, I just, you know, not really, just to, you know, just to work, you know, with that combination of energies, the best way to stoke the fires of manifestation. You can really tap into a lot of potential. Into it.
And I really think a lot of it is, you know, one of the things that you brought up intensely and breath. And, you know, when you think about it, you know, in a fire, breath, air is what sort creates the fire to become alive, to become more. You know, people go, we'll blow on the fire to make it happen, you know, like you blow on it. You don't blow this, you know, thing out like we do with candles and you know, light, you know, matches. But it's you blow on it to bring more life to it. So when you think about breath, that's what you're doing. You're bringing more life to the process that's happening, which is whatever the manifestation aspect that you're working with. So I think at this point I need to start getting us prepped for what's going to happen now. we have next month's theme is coming full circle, and because the 4th of July falls on our first day of that month that we would have a show, we're going to have a rebroadcast of one of the first seasons with Miss Phoenix and myself, so that we can all enjoy family and all of that. And then our next show will be the 11th of July, and that is technically our one-year anniversary. And so our theme for that one is a year and a day. And I know, it's like, oh, my God, so fast. And we're going to talk about that concept either in initiations or hand fastings. We'll just find a lot of things about that in the more Wiccan, pagan, witchy aspects so that we can, you know, bring that as a part of what, you know, we ourselves in terms of, you know, commitment to and doing our show for this year and all of that. And then I need to kind of work around where you can catch all of us. And you can catch Deb, obviously, and myself through the air, readers and root walk, work, not walkers, readers and root workers.
Well, we might be root walkers, I don't know.
We might be root walkers. And then hoodoopsychics.com. And Deb can be found at bewitchingbee.com, and that's bewitchingbee, all lowercase. And I, of course, same things we've talked about, I can be found at www.elvira.com, lowercase, E-L-V-Y-R-A, or www.lowercasemilkandhoney.com, and that's M-I-L-K hyphen A-N-D hyphen H-O-N-E-Y. And but I'm on Central Time. I'm in Arkansas, and, of course, Deb is too. So both of us have that to be the fact that we're together on that. And I'm looking to see. We are probably less than a minute. So I am going to basically say that this, again, has been one of those wonderful times where you and I really put a, you know, put the energy together. And I'm sure that the next few days after this, we will have a lot to have discussed about what manifests in our lives and where are, and I will let it, you take us out.
All right. So until next time, everybody, witch on, witch well, and witch wisely.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio broadcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Central, and is available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website at witchpriestessandcauldron.com. That's witchpriestessandcauldron.com. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.